The Ed Show at MMS 2012. I snagged a good one. Don Jones, PowerShell legend, MVP, author, to talk about high availability clustering. No, seriously.
I'm going to need more laptops.
We can do it. No, of course. PowerShell. How can you not talk about PowerShell with Don Jones? So, like, it's new. It's V3.
It is.
And there are a slew of changes. And the thing that they've been talking an awful lot about recently is the fact that there are, first of all, so many new commandlets that are built in to being able to manage servers and manage new Windows 8 environments.
Yeah, you know, it's something that I think the team has been trying to tell people for a long time. And it's definitely been a message. Look, someday you're going to be able to do everything in PowerShell. Exchange came out. You could do that. And
It's been coming. It's been written in the
wall. It's been coming, but it's been 6 years coming. And people kind of lose track of that. And they're like, oh, yeah, PowerShell, I can ignore that. Well, not anymore. It turns out that everything's built. Server manager's built on it. Everything's built on it now. 3,000 some commands are going to ship with Windows 8.
Oh, it's crazy.
That's incredible.
Absolutely crazy. It's very powerful.
I
will say I am one of the laggards. But because I was doing some demonstrations about a year and change ago, I started to adopt it, working with some of the guys in the community because I've got connections up in Canada. Sean Kearney was great to be able to help me out. He's a little bit fanatical.
A little
but he's
bit
good.
Fanatical.
to say it nicely.
Yeah.
And then Plazaholic as well was helping me out and to get me rolling with PowerShell. And it's really come a long way for me to be able to discover how to do things and be able to work with it. And
well, that's a key. And I think people miss that. You can teach yourself. You can discover this stuff. It's not like you have to go to 3 years of programming school to learn how to use this thing. If you can run Ping, and hopefully most IT pros can run Ping, then you can get by and you can learn it bit by bit. It's okay.
The ISE is gorgeous. Now, I'm looking here at your demo machine because I can see it on the preview monitors.
I actually don't have the ISE.
You're not running the ISE. Oh. So I know you're old school with the way you work with it. You're all command line based.
I
definitely am a new ISE lover for what you can do with it. The IntelliSense and everything else that's there, it's awesome.
I love the new ISE, I got to say.
Good.
And
you're on record now.
I can't believe the investment the team has made in it. It's just incredible. I'm in the middle of writing like 3 books on version 3.
Only 3?
Yeah, well, you know, slow month. So I've had to reinstall my VM several times, and every time I keep forgetting to grab the ISE color scheme, because you can now set up your own themes for colors.
I did not know that.
I have to set one up that will work in terms of screenshots for the book. They have to be very high contrast.
Okay.
And I haven't set that up on the new VM yet.
Well,
so
we'll give you some slack.
I get a buy on that one.
We'll give you a buy on that one there. Since you're working with 3, since you're working on a number of different books, that sort of stuff, I'd be curious to find out where do you find there's some shortcomings with it. You know, it's not finalized, it's not RTM code and that sort of stuff. But where are some areas that you think are some hidden nuggets that people should be looking for, but also some areas that are still needing some improvement, perhaps?
You know, I think one of the biggest shortcomings, at least now in the version 2 world, and it's hard to tell because they're not done writing the help for version 3 yet.
Absolutely.
So we don't know. But one of the biggest shortcomings is around remoting. I don't think most people even realize how powerful and flexible remoting is. And they'll get into these situations completely real world. I need to talk to a machine that's not in my domain.
Mm-hmm.
I need to talk to a machine that's in no domain whatsoever. Or I need to reference it by IP address rather than its computer name because I can't resolve that to an IP address. Those are all doable. They're all tricky, and they're not all terribly well documented. It's something I'm hoping they'll be able to improve on, but I'm in the middle of kind of finalizing a whole 130-page, step-by-step screenshot, here's how to do all the weird stuff in remoting.
And that's the condensed version, right?
That is, pretty much, yeah.
So as a person looking to not just learn PowerShell, but also how to troubleshoot PowerShell, it's a very strong community, very, very supportive community, I'll say that as well. Where do people go to be able to go off and find stuff that they have questions about besides hitting their favorite search engine?
Twitter, believe it or not.
Oh, yeah.
You can accomplish a surprising amount in 140 characters.
Hashtag PowerShell. It's extremely active, I will say.
It is. PowerShell.com.
Yep.
I hang out there. I have my own Q&A forum that they've set me up with. I teach a lot. I write a lot of books. So people kind of come looking and they want to ask me a particular question. You know, it turns out that I wind up referring people to some of the other forums which are led by incredibly capable experts, but they're specific. It's Active Directory, SharePoint, SQL Server. But I'm happy to, you know, get people to the right spot if I can't answer the question myself. But it's a 24-hour turnaround thing. You know, I mean, if you ask a question, if I'm sitting in the office within an hour, I'll put something up. If I'm on the road teaching or here at a conference, it might be that evening. But it's quick.
Are you going to hold yourself to that SLA of about an hour return time?
I try. Because you know what? That's the discouraging part, isn't it? When you run into a brick wall with something, you just can't get an answer. You've still got to get the job done. So then you give up and you move on. I really don't want people to give up.
Oh, totally. And like most IT pros that are out there trying to troubleshoot something or trying to do something, it's a very, I'm not going to say reactive, it's a very instant response they need to have.
Yeah.
If they don't find it here with a search, they don't find it here by talking to local friends, they got to ask somewhere else, community, forum, Twitter, Facebook, whatever happens
to be. Yeah, and there's a lot out there.
It's a lot out there. So I'm curious to find out. Now, are you going to do one of those standard get-command/help?
Oh, well, I was, but now not. No, actually.
Show me something that's sick and sweet. All right, so here with PowerShell.
This is something new in version 3. Now, in version 2, with remoting, you've got this ability in the system to set up several endpoints.
Yep.
Right? Each endpoint has a different version of PowerShell. Each one can have different capabilities. We're an Office 365 customer, my company. So I can remote into Microsoft's servers, which is kind of scary if you think about it.
I've seen that. It does work.
But they've given me a constrained endpoint that just lets me do what I should be able to do with my bit of the O365 cloud. So that always required programming. Now, you've got this new PS session configuration file. You can set up an endpoint that has exactly what you want. So you might say, you know what, I want to define a couple aliases for someone. I want it to run on this particular version of PowerShell. And every time someone connects to this thing, I want to import this particular module, but I only want to make these commands visible.
This is for any endpoint.
Anybody, you can set as many of these up as you want to on a computer.
So I've got 4 or 5 machines in my environment that I want to be able to remotely access the PowerShell. I don't want to give carte blanche to everybody.
Right.
I can configure this to be specific on those different machines.
Very detailed.
Wow.
And if you combine that with the ability to write proxy functions, a function that wraps around a command and either adds functionality or detracts functionality, I want to let you run new mailbox, but I don't want you to pick what mailbox server it goes to.
Okay.
I'm going to do a little database lookup and find that out for myself.
Yeah.
You can really get this thing nailed down with no programming. You just run this command. The cool new thing, register PS session configuration. You give this thing the name of that file. So that file says this is what the endpoint's going to look like. You can then tell it, you've got a couple of choices. I always go with this one, show security descriptor UI. Much as I'm a fan of the command line,
sometimes
typing out the security descriptor is hard.
Yeah.
So this just pops up the standard ACL dialog box. That tells you who is allowed to connect to this endpoint, and if they can do read operations, write operations, and then executes the minimum.
Mm-hmm.
And you can specify, and I think this is the coolest thing, a run as credential, meaning only members of my help desk can connect to this endpoint, but every command they run is going to run under this other user account I've set up, not their user account. So I don't need to give them permission to do what that command is going to do. They can only run the commands I give them. They can only run it the way I said they could, and it's going to run under this elevated or alternate privilege.
Wow.
I mean, this is, I could totally see having 20, 30, 50 bazillion endpoints, very customized.
Yeah. So I was about to say, you can basically customize this to make it so that your accounting team could use PowerShell.
Exactly.
and not kill the servers.
And even if they're not at a console, you can build a GUI that's doing this remoting under the hood.
Okay.
So now they get a GUI, you're just running PowerShell commands, so you can take advantage of all the cool commands that are in PowerShell, take advantage of delegated administration, and you don't have to work out hard-coded credentials into the app, which are really easy to extract.
Yeah, security-wise, you have to go up and change those passwords eventually.
I think this has kind of gotten undersold so far, possibly because the marketing hasn't really ramped into Windows 8 yet, but this is a huge deal. I can totally see hosting providers, managed service providers, IT companies. Talk about the private cloud.
Yeah.
That's how you secure the private cloud
there. I mean, you're talking about a hosting provider to be able to give access, like we give access to Office 365.
Exactly.
To your hosted environment that you have,
exactly.
Or the colo environment that you happen to have. You got a nice, tidy little package you can now button up, make sure it's secure, test it, obviously, and then deploy it out to your environment. That's wild. Now, this also ties in and is important for the other thing that I found that was very cool. I did an interview with the product team a little while ago about the whole Web Access Gateway.
I love the Web Access Gateway.
So can you talk a little bit about it?
Yeah, it's a web access, it's PowerShell Web Access. It's
like
just
OWA.
Like Outlook Web Access. And in fact, the splash screen even looks a lot like that. So you sit down with your tablet or your smartphone or your laptop, whatever.
Yep.
you hit a web server with your web browser, HTTPS, so it's encrypted,
yep.
mutual authentication, you know you're not getting spoofed on the server side, it's really your machine.
Mm-hmm.
You punch in your username and password, tell it what server you want to hit. The gateway talks to that server over remoting,
yep.
and then you run whatever commands you want to run.
Wow. That's incredible. So, PowerShell from your devices, no matter what device happens to be.
You can sit on the beach, get your Mai Tai going, you can punch in, delete all users, I'm tired of talking to them. I mean, you can do whatever you want to. It's awesome.
Absolutely awesome. What about some other interesting things? You've got a big amount of text on the screen obviously, from the complexity of the commands that are there, just from the sort of power of it. But you know, show me something else, man. So what else? What do you think?
You know what's going to mess people up with version 3 is... let me see if I can. Well, this is a cool thing. So I'm just going to do a little wildcard search here, right?
Okay, yeah.
I don't have any other modules loaded right now, but it's going to automatically look at all the modules that are on my machine to see if it can find something that matches. And that's how I discover I can manage the firewall from here. All right, well, let's take a look at that. Help get net fire. That's a lot of typing. There we go. That's what I wanted. Tab complete that. Okay, so this is what's going to confuse people right here.
Get help, cannot find the help file. It's,
we've been preaching for 6 years that it comes with help, read the help, comes with help, read the help. Yeah, it doesn't come with help anymore.
Is it because it's still not finalized as of yet, or what?
No, you know, this particular command, it's possible, but in fact, no PowerShell command ships with help anymore. And the reason is, for version 2, you know, the help files have to get translated into umpteen zillion languages.
Yep.
They have to get edited, they have to get cleared. So the documentation team gets locked down before the software team gets locked down. And what do you think happens in that time frame? changes. So for version 2, I'm guessing Microsoft spent millions of dollars shipping outdated help. And they knew it.
Mm-hmm.
And I know the people who write that help and are on that team, and it probably killed them personally to not be able to do a better job.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just the physical reality of the situation. So the deal is, now we've got a new command called update help. The first time you run PowerShell and you see that message, can't find local help. The message says, run update help.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of mystery.
Yeah.
This will go out to the internet for every single module that you have on your computer. Even third-party modules can take advantage of this. They just have to code the right URL into the manifest.
Yeah.
It'll go download the help. It takes, I'm guessing once all the help is up there, it'll take 2 minutes. All right? Really long period of time. Mm-hmm. 2 whole minutes. But then you've got it locally.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be on every single endpoint.
It does not.
It's the one you're using.
Just the one you're using. And if you've got machines that are not internet connected, I think it's save help, downloads it, saves it, and then update help can be pointed to that local copy.
Yeah.
So you can push it out that way. All this is if Microsoft were to ship the help, they're writing contents from the DVD into System 32. You kind of don't want that being updated from the internet unless it's a hot fix.
Good point. I don't think the guys at Trustworthy Computing building would like this. Their heads would be
exploding. Heads spinning. Yeah, the whole deal. Yeah, and honestly, I've had a few folks kind of complain about it, but you know Office doesn't ship with help either. Office defaults to online help.
It always immediately get the help option says getting updated information.
So what's the big deal, you know? Plus, you're an IT professional. Run the command. Right? I mean, at some point, we've just got to get over being whiners and just do it. Because ultimately what that means is the software team can lock, then the doc team can get those last-minute tweaks in. I don't know if you've ever looked at the online help, right? You can type help command minus online. Mm-hmm. It'll pop open your web browser. It goes to TechNet.
Yep.
They update that stuff all the time. They're on like a weekly publishing cycle.
Yeah,
I think.
It's very fast turnaround time.
Well, now you can get it locally, too.
Okay, so... Some people see it as a shortcoming. I see it as a big bonus because you're going to get updated stuff. I mean, it's like if I go off and install software from any vendor that I buy a piece of hardware with, they give you the driver CD. No one in their right mind ever uses the driver CD. Okay, my father-in-law back in Charlottetown, he might use it because he uses me for help, but no.
Well, that's the first thing Windows has you do. Run Windows Update. Yep. We got some hot fixes. So, and that's I think the only other thing that bugs people is that this isn't being shipped out through Windows Software Update services.
Okay. Good point, yeah.
I'm personally not real excited about waking up on Patch Tuesday for help files. I'm just not. Yes, I do want updated help files on my machine. I don't want them flowing down through my entire software update infrastructure. And you know, maybe I don't want to update them on Patch Tuesday. I can probably live with outdated help maybe I'll run it once a month. I don't know. Maybe I could create a scheduled task and have it do it for me. There's a commandlet for that now. So, you know, people see it as a downside. I really see it as a, given the way the world operates, the best way that the team could have given us the best thing that they could. Right. I mean, it's just a way of making the product better.
It's updatable, which is the important part. So you were here at MMS delivering a session. What was your session topic on?
Actually, I haven't done a session yet.
Oh, it's coming up.
That's why I'm so fresh. Tomorrow morning, 11:45, Windows PowerShell Crash Course.
Yep.
Friday morning, 8:30. So get home from the attendee party early.
Because we're all going to be going to bed early, right?
To remoting in depth. That's okay. Where I get to share some of the stuff I've been tweaking out of the remoting system. It's just, it's incredible the amount of power and flexibility that's in that thing.
And just yourself presenting, or you have co-presenter?
Yes, just presenting me all by myself.
Nice. Well, this is recorded, so people are going to be able to see this. So the content will also be recorded to be able to see as well after the fact. So I'll make sure that we update the links to include that as well. And any final closing thoughts on PowerShell before we wrap up here?
You know, it's public beta right now. Yep. And I know a lot of times people are like, well, I'll wait till it's a release candidate. Please don't wait till it's a release candidate. Beta is when they can fix bugs.
Yeah.
RTM, or release candidate, is when they start having to drop features. So this is the time. Download the beta. Try it out. Get on connect.microsoft.com. Tell the team what you think about it. I know people think Microsoft is a giant faceless black hole company, and a lot of companies can seem like that, but I know the name of the guy on the team who reads the PowerShell stuff on Connect. Mm-hmm. And if you were fortunate enough to grab the first beta of PowerShell, every single one of the scripts, the little demo scripts that demo the new features, was tagged with the name and the Connect ticket ID number. Some 60 features are in PowerShell version 3 because of Connect and because of the community. They absolutely listen. So please get the beta. Please try it out. Please file feedback. Please tell the team what you think, because it's the only way they're going to make it better for you.
Yep. It's an awesome tool.
It is.
It's integral to how Server 8, Server 2012.
Server 2012.
Is being managed and architected.
Yeah.
Every other product team member that I've been talking about has been talking about the PowerShell integration, the big investments they're making on it, manageability-wise. It's all tied in PowerShell.
Learn PowerShell or learn to say, would you like fries with that?
You stalwarts, start doing this. Please.
You've got to be on board now.
You will need to know PowerShell in the future for sure.
Yeah.
One last question for you, man. Vibram Five Fingers?
Five Fingers. You have to have five fingers if you're a PowerShell geek.
I was about to say, when you reach the 17th level of guru-ness in PowerShell.
Yeah, they ship you a pair.
You get, okay. I've got boots, so I'll work on it then.
Yeah, that's how you can tell.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
Awesome
good
talking with you, buddy.
Thanks,
cheers.
Man.